Hello and welcome to the Microbe Hunter Microscopy Podcast. My name is Oliver Kim. So hi, hello and welcome. I want to respond today to a question from one of my YouTube viewers. I'm just going to read the question to you, and then I would like to simply respond to it and give you my opinion. Thank you very much for the detailed explanations. He or she is referring to my video where I described on how to buy a microscope. It continues, it opened my eyes. It is so hard to get this information. One more thing that is not clear for me and that stops me from buying a microscope is the preparations of samples. It needs to be cut into thin slices, then you have to color it somehow. There are many different techniques. That's too complex. Probably you have a video about this too. Okay, first of all, thank you very much for the question. I think it's an important question. And I think your assumptions or the things that you've wrote into the question is you're all right. Yes, sample preparation can be quite complex. And yes, there are many different techniques. And yes, staining, that's the coloring with different stains, is also a science in itself, okay? So all of the things that you write here, I can basically, I agree with you. However, you are not required to do all of these things if you want to do hobby or amateur microscopy. And in my YouTube channel, I deliberately tried to show you methods that are very easily done, which are not so complicated. So you do not need a fully featured home laboratory with many chemicals and whatever. Yeah, it's not necessary. You can do amateur microscopy also very simply by taking some of the specimens and simply putting them onto the microscope slide and then looking at them through the microscope. As a matter of fact, I think many of the more interesting specimens, for example, water samples, where you actually see live animals and cells and so on, actually they don't require any specimen preparation. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't, because this would actually kill the organisms. But I want to, I just want to give you a little bit more background information here. What you are referring to with the slicing and with the staining and all of this, this is a method, or these are methods that are very commonly used in the field of histology. Histology is the study of tissues, and very often in research and also in medicine, what you do is you have to basically, you take a biopsy. That's basically a piece of some tissue from a person that got ill, and then you have to kind of put it under the microscope. And these specimens, these biopsies, are very often quite large. Okay, so they are too large, at least, to be placed directly on a microscope slide, because objects that are on the microscope slide have to be extremely thin, they have to be transparent, and they also have to be sufficiently small. And often the samples are not that small, and they're quite big. Okay, so you somehow have to get them into this into an appropriate you have to process them appropriately so that you can actually look at them. And in histology, what you do is I'm just simply going to take you roughly through the steps simply to show you how complex this is. But then again, this is not what you have to do unless this is something that interests you, okay? What you have to do is you have to take the sample, a piece of tissue, okay? And then the first thing that you have to do is you have to fix it. And fixing means that you preserve it in such a way that all of the chemical processes in cells, they kind of stop, and the cells are kind of frozen, and so that they cannot, they're preserved, in other words, okay? And there are certain chemical fixatives that you do, and you have to place the specimen for a couple of days into this solution, and then the solution will kind of soak itself, it will diffuse into the specimen, the little piece of tissue, this will basically then preserve the cells, okay? But then it's like this, that you take it out after a couple of days, but then it's still very large. Okay, so what you have to do is you kind of have to slice it. You have to microtome it. Microtoming means that you make very, very thin cuts using a device. And the cuts can be, let's say, 10 to 20 micrometers thick. Okay, so they're quite quite thin. And the problem, however, is that you cannot so easily do that, because the specimen itself, the tissue itself, is too soft. Okay, so it's going to bend, and it's going to, yeah. So you have to kind of support, give it some kind of physical support. So So what you do is you have to embed it first in a block of paraffin. It's a wax-like substance. So you have to put it into paraffin. But, oh, I forgot something. You cannot do that because there is still a liquid fixative in here. So what you have to do is you have to take the liquid fixative out first. You have to dry it first. See, that's the step I forgot. You have to dry it first, and you do that by placing it into an increasing sequence of alcohol concentrations. So for day one, you put it into, I don't know, a certain percentage of alcohol, and then in day two, you increase the alcohol percentage, and every time you kind of slowly replace the water with alcohol. And you have to do that. If you do this too quickly, then it's going to cause the whole thing to shrink. Okay, so that's the second step, is dehydration. Okay, and then now comes embedding. Okay, I almost forgot this one step. And then when you embed it in paraffin, then you have the whole tissue in a block of paraffin, and then you can microtome it, and you can put it into the machine, and you can make thin sections, and you can cut it, and then you have to basically remove the paraffin. You use some kind of an organic solvent to do that. Somewhere in this whole process, you also have to stain the whole thing. This thing, I don't know, this takes days, if not weeks. With all of the waiting time, okay? And this is actually something that is too advanced for most amateur microscopists, and therefore I'm not doing it, and many other amateurs are also not doing it, unless this is something that really interests you, and unless this is part of your hobby, okay? So this is basically the background a little bit here, why this is the complexity is really not some, it simply makes it not feasible for hobby purposes. Also because some of the chemicals are not really healthy, okay? All of those organic solvents, it's not something that you want to have standing around in your room, okay? So let's forget about this for right now. If you're interested in looking at those samples, I recommend actually that you buy yourself a set of professionally made microscope slides, which have already been properly prepared and stained, and everything in the lab has been doing that. The reason why you can buy so many of these things is because they're used in medical training, in medicine. So you can buy yourself, and also for educational use in schools, of course. So my advice is that you get yourself a slide box, which contains already a different assortment of different plant and animal tissues, all of them already properly microtomed and stained and everything. Okay, so that means you're not missing out on these things, but you're kind of taking a little bit of shortcut because you're simply just buying them ready-made. Okay, so what can you basically now, if you have a microscope now, what can you actually look at? And there are so many things that's kind of difficult for me to summarize this, but I would say one of the really common things is the observing of pond water, because there are so many microorganisms in there which are also quite large and therefore can be easily seen, and they move around and they really look like aliens, and they're kind of interesting to look at, okay? Especially also if you have children and so on, it's really interesting, the movement and the color and all of those, the activity that's going on. And what I really like about looking at pond water and other samples that I get from the natural environment is because you don't really always know what to expect. I've got some pond water samples now sitting here right next to me. And if I put it under the microscope, sometimes I expect to see a lot, but actually I don't, and vice versa. And sometimes, just the other day, I've seen a whole colony of Vorticella. These are ciliates that are stalked. They're on the stalk and they retract quickly. Totally did not expect so many of them, really. But they somehow reproduced in this water sample on my windowsill here. And that's basically, something totally unexpected. So my advice would be is that if you want to pick up amateur or hobby microscopy, focus on the things that you actually see in your everyday life around you, okay? And try to put them under the microscope, and try to put them into a form that they're observable. So you might have to cut them, but then try to cut them simply using a sharp knife or using scissors or something like this. But you do not always need advanced equipment to do that. Okay, so I'm going to show you also some methods then, or maybe in one of the YouTube videos that I'm going to make on how to actually make very thin cuts simply without even using any additional equipment than a sharp knife. It is possible. It's a lot of trial and error, not so easy. Maybe the results are not quite that good, but it is possible. It depends also a little bit, or quite a lot actually, on the specimen. But especially plant tissues can be cut relatively easily if you're patient and thin enough that you can actually observe it under the compound microscope. Okay, so that is wraps it up. I got a little bit carried away with some technical details at the beginning of this episode with trying to explain you all the process of histology here. But essentially what I just want to make clear is as long as the specimen is sufficiently small, sufficiently thin, and sufficiently transparent, you can actually put it directly under the microscope. And if it is not, and I think that is something that I should say, then you probably want to put it under a stereo microscope. That is really something that I also want to encourage people to get a little bit more involved is stereo microscopy. Because stereo microscopy allows you to look at the specimens directly without any processing at all. You find an insect somewhere, a fly, you just take it and you put it under the stereo microscope and you get a three-dimensional, very immersive and impressive image. Okay, so this is something that I would definitely recommend. You do not always need complex laboratory technique. A little bit of lab work makes the things of course fun, but I have to admit in most cases my microscope slides that I make can be prepared in less than 1 minute or 2 minutes. Take the sample out, put it on the slide, put cover glass on top, it goes under the microscope. Okay, I think for today that's enough. I wish you a nice day, happy microbe hunting, and bye bye.